What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Dolphins Collective. We got Omar, we got myself, TV, and Alan Poupard tonight. Doug will be with us on Friday, so y'all make sure you tune in because we will be giving immediate reactions to Thursday night's draft and what the Miami Dolphins do in the first round. How you doing this evening, Omar?
I'm good. How has Pittsburgh been? People don't know, but you've been at the site of the draft, and you're doing some interviews. You're making some news in terms of who was it? Mansoor Delane and having a good relationship with Jeff Hafley.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. That was news to me that Jeff Hafley actually scouted him out of high school. So that was all new to me, something I had never heard. But Pittsburgh's beautiful, actually, man. They got this big river, and it's like water, and it's more hilly than I ever thought it would be. So
it's like a city on a mountain.
Yeah, well, it's like different mountains. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've got
three rivers. They have three rivers.
Yeah, it's one of the places that I really enjoy going to. It's a different walk of life. It's very industrial, working class people. And I would say tell you that's probably one of the few cities where you will really feel the working class nature of the community.
Yeah, you can tell it's a lot of people here getting it done day in and day out. It's just a good culture here. I kind of like it. I don't know if I would ever live in Pittsburgh, but it's pretty cool. What about you, Alan? How you feeling, man?
I'm all right. I was trying to remember. There was a coach who quizzed us last year on the three rivers after which the previous Steelers stadium was named, and it's Ohio Monongahela or something like that, and I remember the third one. We failed the quiz back then, too.
I don't even remember the quiz, so I didn't even take it.
You were there, probably.
No, it was probably the special teams coach, and I was late.
Who's a special team? God, how quickly they forget. He was here 1 year, and now he's with the Falcons.
Yes. Oh,
Craig Aukerman.
Yes, Craig Aukerman.
Philip Rivers lookalike.
Nice. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have an amazing mock draft. This is our last one, man. Hopefully we get it right. We know these players a little better now. We've heard what everybody has had to say about these players, and the reality is it's wartime. The Dolphins, they have to make some selections tomorrow night that's going to help this organization, get our act together, maybe win a playoff game in the next 2 years. So, it starts tomorrow night, but we're going to do our last mock. We're going to try to get this right. You got to let us know how we do in the comment section, okay? All right. But it's four rounds, all right? We're going to go pretty fast. We're going to use consensus. Are y'all good with that?
Yes. That's what I use. By the way, to provide some context to Jeff Hafley and the Mansoor Delane connection, Jeff Hafley, of course, was the head coach at Boston College from 2020 to 2023. Mansoor Delane was a highly recruited cornerback out of Maryland, so it makes sense that it's kind of in the same part of the U.S. It would make sense. I'm going to imagine he's not the only defensive draft prospect that Hafley recruited during his time as BC head coach.
Hey, man, he on his way to Miami, Alan. We about to get us a winner, man.
Yes, please. Sign me up. Sign me up.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to start the last and final draft.
This is the number one mall on TikTok shop. This thing is very compact. It's got a lot of great features to it.
Hello?
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, cool. We good. Here we go. All right, let's get it started. We're going to go pretty fast. Consensus, four rounds. Let's get into it. Wow, that was pretty fast. Now, having a conversation up front, are we trading back at all in this mock, or we're going to pick where we are?
I'm going Go ahead, Poopar.
My suggestion is let's look at the trades that are being offered, comment on them quickly, and then reject all of them. That would be my suggestion.
Well, hey, right here is a sweet deal. It's the only one being offered, and that's the Minnesota Vikings giving 1849 and the next year's fifth. Is this something you'd be intrigued with?
Yes, but it depends on what's available on the board from a player standpoint. Right now, I see Caleb Downs on the board, so that's probably not sweet enough for me to make the move. I'd probably want a second next year.
So we would pretty much reject that offer.
Yes, that's correct for me.
All right, and you, Alan?
Yeah, because I like Downs a lot too. I think an opportunity to take Downs. I think I would be. I don't believe Downs will be there 11, but based on this particular mock draft, he is available at 11. I think you stay put.
And can we look at the draft to see why he's available 11?
Absolutely.
Not to say that I think he's. I am not of the opinion that he's a top 10 player. I think he's one of the safest players in this draft. I said this on a conversation I had with Simon Clancy, where I talked to him on the Dolphins in Depth podcast. If you don't follow Simon Clancy, you should. Very knowledgeable in terms of the draft prospects, goes very deep into the draft. I have covered Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Antro Roll, Brandon Merriweather, Rashad Jones, who I'm not even putting into the Sean Taylor, Antro Roll realm of things. Caleb Downs is not any of them. And I think he's a very good player. I don't agree with a lot of these people who are saying that he's some elite safety. I think he's going to be an okay safety, a good safety, but elite, no.
Then based on your your logic there, Omar, there's no world where the Dolphins should take him at 11 if he's not going to be an elite safety. And I disagree with you. I happen to think he's got elite traits. And all the reports you're reading now is that he's walking into team meetings with coaches and basically telling them all about their defensive scheme and where he fits, and basically knows it as well as the coaches do, a borderline, which is it's a gym rat. It's a foundational player. Who he was also a chess piece for the defense. I do not agree with you. But it's funny too, because you're a guy who like don't do this about comparing a prospect to former players. Yes. You just did that with all generally speaking Ed Reed and Sean Taylor. I mean, seriously.
I don't disagree. Don't forget Antro Roll. I think Antro Roll is a great player. I can't. You know, I'm expecting, when people say he's an elite player, I'm expecting to feel him on video. Yes, he's a star player. I would not even tell you he's better than Minkah Fitzpatrick when Minkah Fitzpatrick was coming out. Minkah was a good player. He could do a lot of things. I would give Caleb Downs a leadership edge, but I'm not necessarily certain that he can cover a slot receiver or go out to the boundary like Minkah could. And you know, I think I don't have a 40 time on him, and I get it. You get game speed, but I'm very uncomfortable with not having a 40 time on him.
Okay. Well, you want to know what's very interesting about this? Because you asked, how did he become available? But things got, does things not look realistic here? Doza one, Reese two, Arizona goes with Love, Sonny Styles to the Titans, Carnell Tate to the Giants, Maui Gold goes to the Browns, Bailey, Commanders, Bang to the Saints, Manuel Delane to the Chiefs, Mekhi Lemon to the Rams. They have been rumored to be trying to get a wide receiver. Is this not realistic?
It is realistic. I also think see David Bailey of Luba falling, which I think is a possibility. We obviously just lost TD. He's in Pittsburgh, not exactly the greatest Wi-Fi, but hopefully we get him back.
Are you taking a shot at Pittsburgh Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah,
Pittsburgh Wi-Fi.
He said the Wi-Fi was not great. Unfortunately, he's the one that's driving the show right now, but he'll be back soon. Hopefully we get the situation addressed. Poupard.
So, well, okay, let's go back. Do you recall the names that were also there? Was Spencer Fanner was also there. Wenger would have been available. Kenyon Sadiq would have been available. So if you're not in love with Caleb Downs, by the way, if you're not in love with Caleb Downs, then why was it that you wouldn't drop down to 18 and pick 49, which is
because I would want a second round pick for a prospect that obviously they're trying to move up to go get.
A second round pick 49.
No. I would want something else. I would want a second rounder in next year's draft. I'm just greedy like that. Man. I would want both. They're giving me a fifth rounder in next year's draft. Come on, we can compromise on a third. The reason why I'm okay with Caleb Downs being a selection is because I from what I'm told, this defense will be run through a safety and Jeff Hafley's defense, and he needs a very intelligent leader to be his safety. That certainly has Caleb Downs written all over it. But then I would make the argument there are a lot of safeties in this draft that I like a lot. Emmanuel McNeil Warren, I like a lot. Kamari Ramsey, I like a lot. AJ Halsey, I like a lot from LSU. Jalen Kilgore, I like a lot. I think that the Arizona cornerback nickel, I forget his name right now, but he could probably transition to safety. I think safety is one of the deepest positions in this draft. Safety, inside linebacker, and I would say wide receiver is pretty deep, but I'm fine with Caleb Downs being a selection. I'm curious to see how it impacts the rest of the board, how it impacts the rest of the draft.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you're making the pick kind of holding your nose, and to me that should be the last thing the Dolphins do. And for me, I'm not making the pick holding my nose because he's got intangibles up the wazoo in addition to being a good player, which is exactly what the Dolphins need for their top pick with the new regime of John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley.
It's really the intangibles that have me sold, that have me in support of the selection, not necessarily the player, because I think he's a good player. Do I think he's going to be $100 million player, the best safety in the league? No, but I would love to be wrong. Love to be wrong.
Yeah, and there's nobody else who I saw there. I know some fans are like very big on Kenyon Sadiq because they think he's going to, I don't want to say revolutionize.
No, he's not. This is the same conversation that we had with Kyle Pitts 5 years ago.
Yep.
Where, people, and Kyle Pitts is available now if you'd like him for probably a second round pick. They put a franchise tag on him, and then they realized that probably is a little bit too pricey. I think Kenyon Sadiq is a nice player. I think he's going to be a good piece for tight end. Do I take a 600 snap player with 600 snap offensive player at 11? I don't. If I'm going to go an offensive player, I'm going to go an offensive lineman, or I'm going to go a wide receiver. And Kenyon Sadiq, it's a nice player. It's not the game changer that I would be looking for.
See, for me, I go back to being on that board. Like I had, and I wrote about this on MiamiDolphinsNSI.com, that I had like four ideal targets at 11, Sonny Styles. I had Maui Noah, Mansoor Delane, and Caleb Downs. If all four are gone, I'm looking to trade down to pick up the kind of package you would have gotten from Minnesota based on that hypothetical right here on that mock draft.
You would have moved down four spots. I would have moved
down if Downs hadn't been there. But I think, and again, to me, that first pick is very, very significant. And this is like, I don't know if you, every draft's important every year. New regime, complete rebuild.
Yeah. This is
more important than usual for the Dolphins. They cannot F this up at all.
They can't F this up because they've got so many picks. However, I would make the argument to you that this is, I mean, you got 11 selections. I don't like moving.
No, whoa. Okay, what happened here?
Yeah. I don't like moving to moving out of 11 from this standpoint. Most people say that they're probably about at the most 13 legitimate first round picks in this draft. If I stay at 11, I can get one of those legit first round talents. If I move out of 11, I'm getting a second round talent that I'm selecting in the first. That's probably going to lower my probability. It's crazy to think that this is going to be a draft where it's such a top thin draft. And I'm not one of those people who believes, okay, you don't have a bunch of quarterbacks in here, the draft is whack and mediocre. But understand, it's not just the quarterbacks.
Correct.
The running backs are mediocre.
D tackle
is mediocre. Tight end is fairly mediocre.
Yes.
Safety's deep. Cornerback is okay. I don't think it's where it needs to be. Interior line is good, but the tackles are mediocre. Like, correct, tackles are okay. It's just a draft where even the edge rushers, like, okay, you got 8 guys that everybody's going to be racing to the podium to get. And then what? Then you'll be taking Muhammad Kamara's of the world.
Wow. Taking a shot at the former Dolphin 5th round pick from Colorado State. Not very nice.
Man.
You could have said the Charles Harris's of the world.
No. Charles Harris had ability. I mean, Amara was.
No. Hold on. Let me point this out because I wasn't aware of this, and shame on me for not. But you familiar with the RAS, the relative athletic score? Saw, yeah, something, some graph today where there have been, was it like 10 draft picks in the past, like 10 years, or whatever, who had an RAS of under 5, I think, who became first round picks, and Charles Harris was one of those, and the Dolphins still took him in the first round as a pass rusher, and we all know how that worked out.
That was a very, and I know I've told this story before, but that was a very odd draft for me because I remember, I think Chris Greer had just gotten into power, probably that was his second year, and he basically said, I had gotten him to the side, and I asked him. I was doing a piece on Deion Jordan and where things went wrong with that selection, and what did you learn from it? Because that was such a bad Dolphins draft selection, probably number one bad selection in NFL in Dolphins history. Yeah, I know you'd
say, it's up there.
Yeah, and he gave me this laundry list of things that they did wrong. And number one on that list was they projected a player doing something that they hadn't seen him do in college. Mm-hmm. And then the exact same draft, he takes Charles Harris, projecting a player doing something that they hadn't seen him do in college. I was like, what did you learn? Like, you clearly didn't learn anything.
But also remember, yeah, the Deion Jordan pick was Jeff Ireland. And then even though Chris Greer had become the GM in 2016, Mike Tannenbaum was still the senior executive vice president of football operations in 2017. So
that's true. That's fair. So he wasn't the final say, final decision maker. But whew, that was a rough one.
That was not a good one. Going back to your point, I agree with you that the reason this is not a good draft isn't because of the fact that there are not many good quarterbacks because of what you mentioned. But this is where, to me, since you have a certain number of like pure either elite prospects or pure grade one prospects, you have to identify those.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get, if you don't have a shot at any of those, this is where, to me, you trade back. And the only one that was on the board in our mock draft here that has disappeared was Spencer Fano from Utah, who doesn't do it for me.
Doesn't do it for me either.
So to me, at that point, this is where I would trade back if Caleb Downs is not available. But Caleb Downs is one of those dudes for me, which is why he would be my pick.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Fano guy as well. I would tell you, I probably would go with his counterpart, the Lomu guy, just as much as I like Fano. It's okay. It's not, it gives you some excitement in spurts, but I need my offensive lineman to be a little bit more violent or actually turn players. Like Maui Noah turns people and creates running lanes, and Fano does not do that. And also, I don't want to draft player projecting that I can move him to guard Jonas Avenia. And then, you know, it doesn't. And then I'm projecting something that I haven't really seen. I would rather go with Vega, and I know what I'm going to get from day one and the consistency there. Like if a Caleb Downs wasn't there, I would absolutely be down with Vega.
I agree. Welcome back, Tony.
Sorry about that. We having some major technical difficulties, so I'm trying to make it work best I can. So to all those who are watching right now, I apologize. This is totally on me. I couldn't share the screen like I wish that I could for the mock draft. So I think I can see it on my end, but it won't share because the internet in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh internet is just coming up too short. It's that Mike Tomlin internet. Good enough not to be good enough.
I love the fact that Tomlin is on MVP. Except,
TD, he would also say the standard is the standard.
Well, yeah, this ain't the standard, man. It definitely isn't.
His other famous line, we do not care.
I'm going to love watching him on TV.
If he lets rip, he's going to be really, really good.
Is he going to be a studio analyst or is he going to be – I wish he would do
that. Pre-game. Yeah, pre-game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not enough Mike Tomlin for me. A Sunday night game doesn't do it for me.
So in that mock draft, though, I was wanting to ask you all because with the Giants moving up, they can really throw a wrench into everything. And that's why you saw a player like Downs available. So there may be one good player that we love available at that spot. But if we don't love Downs, what do you do right there? Who do you pick right there?
I think me and Poupard hammered it out. We would ideally trade down. Poupard would accept that mediocre trade from, I believe it was the Vikings. I would counter and at least request a third instead of a fifth.
Obviously, I would counter, but this is they don't budge. That's the offer.
You're taking the offer. I'm not. I'm going with Vega. I don't want to take the chance of moving down, and then Vega's gone too. So I'm actually gonna select Vega.
Vega, by the way, By the way, guys, it's the same thing with the Polynesian thing with like Francis from UM. Ask me why it's Maui Noah, but that apparently that's how you pronounce it, even though it reads Maui Goa. It's the same with Tua Tagovailoa. Where's the N? There's no N.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, it reads Tagovailoa, you know?
All right. So let's make the selection, Caleb Downs, and let's move on to our second round since you're going to have to tell us what's available.
There you go, exactly.
All right. Well, before we even get there, because the producer is actually going to go in and pull it up for us eventually, we do want everyone to know that this is powered by Prize Picks. Take advantage of a $50 instant sign-in bonus when you play $5, okay, in lineups using code HMA. As we always tell you, it's available in so many states. And don't forget about the futures as well. You can actually put some tickets together on future bets of record predictions, player stats, all of those good things. So make sure that you go in and you check out Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen. All right, quick question. But before we get back to the mock, have you guys heard any update on Devin Achane? And is all this news coming out about what the projected amount is and stuff like that, is that all just fake stuff or is that legitimate? $20 million a year.
Oh, I saw one that threw out like $11 million a year, and I'm like, Sure, HN's going to take that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In real money. I think right now he's sitting on – hold on. Right now, you do nothing. You let them play it out the way that they want to play it out, the way that you would have played it out with Tua Tagovailoa, and you're sitting on $20 million. And you got to stay healthy for 2 years sitting on $20 million. You telling me that you wouldn't take $35 million, $15 extra million in guaranteed money, and then revisit the situation in 3 years if you're because we're a tailback. Come on. You're a tailback. Let's be real about this. You're a tailback and a small tailback. You got what, 3 good years left in you?
Three good. That's all you got on A-Chain? Three left? 23.
I mean,
or 24, whatever. Sorry.
Six. So in year six, we still see A-Chain as an 1,800 yard producer, 1,300 yard back.
We do that again. I mean, this was again, it was kind of, you know, a convergence of circumstances that helped produce that. Not saying it can't happen. I mean, I don't think we should expect it.
I've learned my lesson. I won't tell you who caused me to learn my lesson, but I've learned my lesson from financially rewarding players after one good season and inconsistent, non-steady production. Yes.
It hurt. It hurt, don't it? It hurt to see it, don't it? It's burning you.
To answer your question, TD, no, there has been nothing that's really come out as far as what a potential contract is going to look like. I think they're still in the
I don't even think the Dolphins have the capabilities to sign them to a multi-year deal because they've got $1 million in cap space. They have to create a ridiculous amount of cap space. This is a situation I think they might have to wait till June 1st because they're out of ways to create cap space with unless you restructure Jordan Brooks's contract.
You'd be the one.
You basically squeezed the juice out of every single lemon that you had.
Mm. Oh, and they had a lot of lemons. Oh, sorry.
Well, real quick, Miami 5045 said, Allen, hit me with the poopar.
Poopar? I don't get it.
What does that mean?
New to me. Then we have Greg who said, no chance of Reuben Baines sliding 211.
Oh, he's
there's a chance. Absolutely.
I think there's absolutely a chance. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to be very careful with my words, but there's a lot of people who are very sensitive about where the University of Miami defensive ends are going to be taken. There's some concern and nervousness about whether they're sliding, and it's you know, I think they're both going to slide. I think they're both going to slide.
Both.
I'm a no on Bain at 11, even if he's available. I'm on record as saying this.
You're a no.
Dolphins cannot take a risk at 11 with the first pick in this rebuilding project. And like it or not, Reuben Bain Jr. very well might become a very good NFL player. But there's a risk involved because, again, he would defy what the model has been with guys with short arms do not generally become.
Here's why I don't view him as a risk.
Okay.
He is one of the best edge setters in this draft when it comes to the pass rushers. That's something, and it's not like he's going against slouches. That's something that translates to the NFL. It's something that this organization desperately needs. And right now, I feel like you can put Reuben Bain at right defensive end and anchor that left side of your defense. I mean, at left defensive end and anchor the left side of your defense and have a stout player there. And then explain
to me why he's sliding.
Because people in their analytics and their metrics, and they don't value watching film over there.
Everybody's wrong because he's going to slide. But you have the answer that he's going to kick ass
I don't think he's going to be a Pro Bowl talent. Do I think he has the physical abilities of Jalen Phillips? No, but I think he's going to be more consistent and reliable than Jalen Phillips. And
that's good enough for you as a 11th overall pick and your first pick of your organizational rebuild. If that's his ceiling, that it's even more of a hell no for me, considering, again, he's going to defy the historical precedent. So to me, You've just turned me from a no to a hell no.
Man, Allie, you've been rough on Bane since day one. Is it just the arms, man?
He's not very big. I mean, it's not.
He is not very big.
He's strong as hell, but he's not very big.
Yep.
So he doesn't necessarily project as a D tackle in the NFL, even though he played some snaps there at UM. And the thing is, he overpowered a lot of guys in college. Guess what? The guys in the NFL aren't going to be as easy to overpower.
No, you're not going to do that.
So
that's a fair point. He's going to have to play with power. He's not going to beat people with power in the NFL.
So when we had started the mock that unfortunately is not working right now, when we first started it, you saw Downs on the board. Mm-hmm. And what if that was Bane and you couldn't move down?
Venga. I'd take Venga over Bane.
I might take Venga over Bane too.
Whoa, this is a little you betrayal over there.
No. I might take Venga over Bane. Venga's just a sure thing. It's so
correct.
It's so safe. Now, I can't tell you, you know, outside of Downs and Venga, I'm a Fernando Mendoza. I'm a short thing guy for him as well. I'm even glad that the Raiders are going to be able to sit him, allow him to watch, learn, go the Tom Brady route. What you looking like that for?
Brady route. I hope you're not predicting that he's going to have any sort of career like Tom Brady.
No, I'm not. I'm not predicting that. But I just think he's going to be cooked right, which is unfortunately not the way that people cook NFL quarterbacks these days. But I would want to cook my quarterback right. I wouldn't want to slow roast him, which is why. And I'm kind of.
First overall pick, the over under until he gets his ass into the starting lineup is 7 games.
Mm. For Fernando Mendoza?
Yeah. First overall pick in the draft. Sure, you're going to sit him the entire rookie season. Sure. That's going to happen. Come on.
All right.
Come on now.
I mean, you're trying to
look at me with a straight face and tell me that's going to happen. Go ahead.
Hey, it's not going to happen. You're eventually going to sell to the fans. You're Thank correct.
You. Yeah.
Unless Kirk Cousins is winning, pulling a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, you're going to absolutely bench it for Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
So let me throw another wrench in there, because another player that could fall because of back issues, if Maui Goa is there at 11, what do you do?
Maui Noah.
Maui Noah.
Back issues.
63 straight games at UM or whatever the number was. Supposedly, the reports are he will need back surgery at some point. That's going to keep him out for I believe the word on him was, what, like 2-3 months. Get it done in the offseason. Again, he's going to be prodded and checked and evaluated and reevaluated and all that. Obviously, if you take him, if he goes in the top half of the first round, it's because teams are satisfied that it's not
I'm of the opinion that there's this leak about the back issues to ensure that his stock drops, and I would go on lean on my medical team, but from my experience, surgery or not, back issues don't go away. They don't go away. They stay there, and it might lead to him having a shorter career. Now, would I be good with him having 7 strong years in the NFL? Yeah. I mean, I really only got to worry about 3, because that's how much I got job security I have. So, but it's also, to me, not necessarily a position of need. And I am, with Austin Jackson, Austin Jackson is no slouch.
Jackson will be gone, he'll be gone next year.
So. He will be gone next year. But I'm looking for an immediate starter, and I don't want to put Maui Noah at right guard. Or maybe I move Austin Jackson to right guard. I don't know.
No, you move Maui Noah to right guard. And why? And here's the thing, and we've had this debate before. Dolphins are winning. They're not winning in 2026. Or they're not winning big in 2026. So, yeah, to me, the reason why you want an immediate starter so he gets NFL experience, and he's already ahead of the game in year 2. But I don't think it's necessary to have to me, you're building for 2027 and beyond.
Okay. If I'm building for 2027 and beyond, I'm going with Vega.
Mm.
Okay.
So we're going to just sit there and leave him on the board and make a pick right there.
Wow. I've talked myself into liking Vega and
Ends, guys, ends.
Ends. Put a fake N into the Venga. Yeah.
And Maui Noah.
I mean, if I'm gonna rank the offensive lineman, Venga's probably number one.
Mm.
Yeah. The only reason he won't be the first offensive lineman taken is positional value because he's a pure guard.
Wow.
But I definitely see myself. I prefer drafting players, and I always ask this question: can I see myself giving them $100 million deal in 4 or 5 years? And I can see myself giving them $100 million deal in 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
You wouldn't do that for Robert Hunt, though, right?
Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. I knew Rob was a good player, but the price has gone up for the position. Okay. Back in the day, I wouldn't have given Rob $100 million.
Okay. Now
today, if I had a chance to get Rob for $100 million signed, where do I sign?
Okay.
Well, that leads me to an even better question. Would Vega end up being better than Robert Hunt? Do you see that possibility?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's violent.
Mm. Interesting. We'll give him the $100 million. All right, we're going to go over some of the super chats. We see a lot of people dropping them in the comment section. Unfortunately, I can't put them on the screen. But we do have Noel B said, can't really score an elite player at 11 when there are probably only three in this draft. Wow. I just want a day one starter that's a serious upgrade over anything we currently have.
Okay, elite player count. We got Reese. We got Styles. We got Bain, we got Sadiq, we got Maui Noah, we got Fanu, we got Venga.
You're gonna leave him out, aren't you?
Who? Gerald, who?
Let me give you a hand, Omar. Let me give you a hand.
Who? Jeremiah Love. We got Fernando Mendoza. No defensive tackle. We got Caleb Downs. Okay, we're at 10, and I don't really think any of these receivers are elite. So,
but we don't love Fano, and so he can't be considered elite. And
No. He's universally viewed as elite.
I wouldn't put Bain in that category either because Bain's got the question marks. I don't need to meet that makes him not elite.
I mean, if you're in the chat and I excluded somebody, yes, I don't feel comfortable telling you a receiver is elite in this draft. I just don't. This is going to be one of those years where you could have a couple thousand yard receivers. Casey's concept. It depends on what flavor you like. I like receivers who can make people miss and who can give you run after catch. Some people like Devontae Parker, big bodies, contested catches. Depends on whatever flavor you like. Now, but I don't view any of these guys as elite. But we're at a count of 10. Oh, we forgot the cornerbacks. Delane, so that's 11. Do we include McCoy?
Not with that knee question. A lot of people would tell you Tyson is elite.
Lemon not elite?
Who?
Lemon.
No. Oh, you're talking about wide receiver?
And I know you're a big Lemon guy.
I think he's a very nice player. I think I rated him player number one. I'm not a Tate guy. I like him, but I think he's a number two receiver in the NFL. Did we include David Bailey? I don't know if I said his name. I'm kind of wishy-washy on that one too.
Bailey?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, hey man, we better make sure we get it right. I'll just say that much. This one, I think this is a critical draft right here, where we have so many options that it makes me feel like it's easier to get it wrong. Do y'all feel that way?
Yeah.
And they can't get it wrong. It's like they can't.
I don't know. I mean,
all you got to do is 11. You could get 11 wrong if you get five other starters out of this draft. All you got to do is walk away from this draft with five starters. You'll have one of the best drafts in history.
I was going to say, look back at Dolphin history. Tell me how many times they've walked away with five starters from the draft. And beyond that, to me, I said, like, give me four of the top seven picks have to become full-time starters, and I want at least two of them to become impact players. Okay. And I'll give you an example. 2023 Lions, they had four picks in the first two rounds. You want to talk about nailing a draft? Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, and Brian Branch. I mean, damn.
And we need to nail an all-pro. We need to draft someone who's going to become an all-pro.
That's so greedy.
Do you mean that's greedy?
You're asking for too much here.
Oh, my God. That was Greer's problem. You might have gotten a few good players, but we really haven't drafted all pros. Like, give me one all pro talent in this draft.
Tunsil was an all pro.
Correct. That was Greer's best draft because he had Xavier Howard in the second round. They had Jakeem Grant in round six.
Xavier Howard was an all pro at one time. So correct.
We pointed at one draft. We talk about finding a guy at least once every other year that's an all pro.
Minka's been an all pro.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Minka's been all pro. We got three all pros.
Different team, but it was still a good draft pick.
Yeah. Three all pros for sure.
But John Eric Sullivan better nail some. But Walt Dog said, if this is it, trade the pick or Seattle with Spence. P Verb. Oh, I
gotta read that. Settle with Spence. Go ahead.
Oh, can we draft the vanilla gorilla Wyoming guard, Caden Barnett, with a day three pick? We need someone like this. P.S. Omar, can we get a promo code for Tootsies?
I don't even get in Tootsies for free.
You don't?
No. Yeah, it's one of the big disappointments of my life.
I know.
All right? That advertising you do?
All that free advertising on this show here? Come on. What's up with that?
It's a good establishment to eat.
Hey, we're going to have to work on that Tootsie sponsorship. Oh, man. Walk Dog said 11 drop off from top 10 pay. Miami will trade pick.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
Interesting point. It's an interesting point. But Steve Ross ain't cheap though. So if we just sat here and counted 12 legit first round solid non-debatable players, why would I trade down to 15? Why would I trade down to 17?
And that's the question. How many have we counted? Remember, I asked John Eric Sullivan at his pre-draft press conference, how many players do you have with like a top 11 grade? And
he wouldn't tell you.
No, he was like, nope.
Chris Greer would tell us.
Chris Greer might have told us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always asked him how many players you got on your board. And he'd always tell me the number. And I'm going to miss that. Mm-hmm. But according to John Eric Sullivan, everybody's on the board. They just get put upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noeg Monogamy was in his number two, right? I'm just saying. Idleman 12 said, promoting Kendrick Faulk, my mocks tell me you take at 11 or lose him to Bucks or Cowboys, not going to slide to 30.
Correct. He's not going to be there at 30.
He's not going to be there at 30, but I don't take him at 11. Mm-hmm. I think he's a nice player. I think he could definitely help this team. 11? I'm expecting sack productivity. You're basically giving me Emmanuel Ogba.
No. Falk projects as a much better run defender than Emmanuel Ogba. Come on. He's not the same kind of player. He'd be like, I don't know. The comp I heard that was given to me was Eric Armstead, formerly of the 49ers,
Yeah, nah.
Really nice player. No, 11's too a little rich for my taste as well. If this is where, if they could trade that trade with Minnesota we're talking about, move down to 17, you could get them at 17, probably. And that to me would
Minnesota be Minnesota does need a safety, so I could see why that trade was offered to us on a simulator.
And and Minnesota supposedly likes Thieneman, the safety from Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, Garb Gump said, Omar, I really dug your interview with Simon Clancy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Garb Gump. I love talking to Simon about draft prospects. Yeah. I love when you can go back and forth about players and technical aspects of their games or how they fit into the system or schemes or styles. And, you know, especially when people know what you like Simon knows what I like. I like physical. I like tough. I like, you know, I like dogs. So if you a dog, I'm just attracted to you. Like
he likes alphas, particularly at quarterback.
You want to take a shot? Okay. Wow. All right. Okay.
Before we continue to read the rest of the super chats, I want to give another shout out once again to our sponsor, Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen. Again, make sure that you use code HMA to sign up with Prize Picks, all right? Get $50 instantly after you play $5, and it is available in multiple states. Take advantage of the opportunity. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. And we're going to get y'all a ticket, hopefully, before we get out of here that you might be able to tell as well, all right? All right, let's continue to get into the super chats. Make sure we hit everybody that sent the super chat in. Remember Aaron Darnold, considered to have short arms. He played defensive end and tackle.
No. Aaron Darnold also went to the Senior Bowl and absolutely dominated.
Oh, he was a super freak.
Yeah.
Super freak.
Did he have short arms?
Arm length. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. 32 5/8. That's a decent size arm.
What's Reuben Baines?
30.5.
So 2 inches?
Yeah,
pretty much. Alan, you keep crying over 2 inches?
There's a joke there somewhere that I'm not going to make, but it makes a big difference, actually.
It does. It does for you to disengage from because offensive linemen hold and you got to push them off you.
Although I just looked at his NFL.com draft profile from when he came out. And this is like, once the eye opening, his projection round 4 or 5.
Who, Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald.
Nah, from.
Dude, I'm. You
draft day? Up. Draft, that was draft day?
Pre-draft is NFL.com.
Oh, yeah. Because he was small. He's undersized.
Correct. He was undersized. Short and Scrappy was the book on him.
I believe he was like a two-time player of the year or two-time.
Yeah, he was great at Pitt. And then the Senior Bowl, like you said, he just like actually tore it up.
Yeah, he's all rocked up.
Well, after this comment, we're going to put up my picks for Prize Picks. I was able to get that. But Miami 5045, the Poopar hand heart shaking my head.
just for you, you're getting another one. How's that? Just for you.
You know, I really need to take the time to just sit down, update my computer, figure out how to get the hand heart so I can start doing hand expressions and get the reactions.
What else can you do again? Can you make fireworks or something like that?
Oh my gosh.
See, that one, I don't get that one as consistently. There's a couple of other ones. Like if you do the thumbs down, supposed to make it rain. No, see, sometimes
I think because it's in a smaller view right now.
It could be. That could be the problem.
That's probably what it is. Wow. All right, man. The poop bar and heart shaking my head. Listen, again, make sure that you take advantage of Prize Picks. Here is the lineup. All you have to do is go on Prize Picks. You can find me as well, by the way. I keep telling y'all I'm on Prize Picks as TD Fans Talk. You can follow people on there and you can see all my picks. You can tell my picks. You can see what I'm winning. You can see what I'm losing. You can see every aspect of it. So again, don't forget to take advantage of the opportunity using code HMA. If you play $5, you're going to get that $50 instantly in lineups available in Texas, Florida, California, and many other states. So take advantage of the opportunity. We're going to finish out with the super chats to make sure we get caught up and hit everybody again. Idleman 12, promoting Monroe Freeling for offensive tackle over Maigor Orofano. He did take 257 snaps at right tackle at Georgia. How do y'all feel about Freeling?
Solid prospect. Gives me Austin Jackson-esque vibes. No. I mean,
I want more.
Huh?
I want more.
He's a first. There's some
buzz with him maybe going to Cleveland, like in the top 10. So, but he, I don't know if he strikes me as.
He's a big body.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. When we talk about Austin Jackson, I think there's this misunderstanding. People think, okay, he's gone for the future because we don't like him. We don't want him anymore. Isn't it more to do with him, his ability to stay healthy? Because he's still a good player. He's not elite, not great, but he's still a good player, right?
He's still a solid NFL starter, yeah.
Correct. And he's got no guaranteed money beyond this year, and he took a pay cut to come back in 2026. So you put two and two together, and the biggest issue is, unfortunately, it's like every year or almost, it's injury and injury and injury.
Wow. So in the open market, you think he can get a sizable deal that we wouldn't want to pay?
I wouldn't expect him to break the bank, to be honest. Because, again, he's got the same issues that he's had in Miami are going to carry over. I'd be surprised. And yeah, he's a solid NFL right tackle. I don't know if I'd.
He's also underage, so he's probably by next year, he's probably going to be like 28 or 27.
He's been in the league 12 years and he's 23 years old or something. I mean, something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. He came in the league like at 20. Mm-hmm. So he's been 7 years. Yeah.
So my main question with that is, instead of investing a potential number 11 pick on a guy who could fill in at that position for the future, should we not give him one more year to prove he can stay healthy and continue his career with us if he's not going to cost that much?
Well, if he's going to be 1 year, he's probably going to get injured next year. If he stays healthy for 1 year, I mean, we know what time it is. It's only a matter of time. So,
So it's almost an inevitable feeling.
I like him. I think he's a good leader. I think he's a good player. When he's healthy and he's mentally right, he can be a force in a run game. I do believe that. Force. There are a lot of clips that you can find of Austin Jackson running downfield. It's just not Aaron Brewer. Like
you can find a clip of Cole Strange and Jonas Avayanaya running downfield and making good blocks at the second level. I mean, force is a. I mean, to me, it's a solid right tackle.
Wow. All right, let's keep it moving. Walt Dog just dropped a super chat, said Bane, 7-plus sacks, 12-plus tackle for loss, 50 tackles, 48 season, 12 years is great.
I don't understand part of that thing at the bottom. That's your projections, 7-plus sacks for 12 years? Okay.
Mike Best. I saw your show with Simon Omar. Good stuff. Is anyone better than him at draft process? Hey, Poop and TD, what's up, man?
What up?
I like a lot of people from a draft evaluation standpoint. Simon's just the only person that I've had on a podcast because I generally enjoy those conversations. And he goes a lot deeper into the draft than some people. But yeah, and also his draft guide, which is available on his webs by email. He'll pay. You get the dirt. You get the dirt about the players. So, and I think that that's missing in the draft process.
Interesting. Jose said Chris Bell will be the wide receiver from this draft.
Is that the kid from Louisville?
Kid from Louisville. He's a baller, but
ACL November.
But there was a clip today, him on the treadmill. Supposedly he
18 miles an hour. You know how fast I've run on that treadmill?
Probably not 18 miles an hour.
16.5, sir. 16.5.
Yeah. What happened in your 40-yard dash with Hollywood?
Oh, no. I did not take to coaching. I did not wear the right – I did not listen to Adam Gase when he told me to wear cleats.
He said, well, you're not coachable. That's what you're saying. You're not coachable.
I am not coachable. He told me – he warned me that the turf was just got installed. It was slippery, and I slipped.
Hold on. This is the first time I'm hearing of this. So you raced the player?
No. I raced Danny Rabinowitz, Hollywood, from the Joe Rose Show.
Forgot it.
The Dolphins turf with Dolphins coaches there. And
you
lost.
You got smoked no more?
I lost, yes. I didn't get smoked. I lost. You on video. Oh, this is years ago. Yes.
But going back to Bell, supposedly, again, it's 18 miles an hour now, and supposedly he's going to be ready by June or something like that. That guy, if he comes back healthy, he is an absolute baller.
He is, but I'm not drafting him till the third day of the draft.
He'll be long gone by then. You have to make a commitment to him, and
I'm not taking damaged goods in the first two. You don't want to take Reuben Bain, and he's completely healthy.
He can be gone in the late seconds. Third day.
That's cool. I'm not touching him till the fourth round.
No, he would scare me just like Caleb Banks. Apparently, there's a report about Caleb Banks that his foot is healing very well. It may have been him who's going to be ready by June.
McCoy. Why are these prospects hurt?
Because they get football's a physical sport.
Jerron McCoy.
I'm not drafting him in the first round. I'm not even taking him at 20 or 30. Jerron McCoy.
Oh, correct.
To Tennessee cornerback.
There's a big risk.
So yeah. It's a hit or miss. Whoever draft one of these guys, they might be literally getting their all pro because we're just going off of the injury.
I mean, it's the same situation with Will Johnson last year. I love Will Johnson. He fell to the second round, and he pretty much had a good season, but then I think he had some injury issues.
He missed five games.
Yeah.
Man, so, injured players. Chris Greer would have been
When you drafted Devontae Parker, you knew Devontae Parker had a foot issue. What happened in his rookie season?
He had a screw put in his foot.
I know.
That's the issue.
And you still drafted him 14th overall. It's like, and you, TD, here's the thing. Yeah, Caleb Banks is one of those. Jerron McCoy is one of those. Who else do we have? Maui Noah with the back. You have to assess how much of a risk is there with those guys. The Dolphins are not in a position where they can draft a bunch of those guys and have it turn out bad for them.
If I'm Steve Ross, I tell them no injured players.
Wow. Yeah, this would have been Christmas for Chris Greer. Anyway, Mike Best said, TD, what did you think of WrestleMania? I didn't even watch it, Mike. You know, if Coco ain't going to be there, I ain't going to be there. How about that? Maddie B207 said, Omar, you said you expect sacks from a player at 11. What would be okay with Bane at 11 and said you don't think he'll produce sacks?
Bane is a 6-7 sack guy. Bane, I'm not sure. I might take him off the field on third downs. Yes, I said it. Like, it depends. Like,
what do you want him at 11?
Because I need somebody to stop the run, and nobody else can stop the run.
You can get that kind of guy in the second or third round. Are you serious with this?
No, I disagree in this sense. I think even you, Omar, saying that undercuts Bane, and here's why. This is the NFL now where half the quarterbacks are scrambling quarterbacks. I would still keep him in on third down when those quarterbacks like to get out of that pocket and he can maintain the integrity of the pocket, keeping them in there. They know they won't be able to run his way because he can still, you know, track them down.
I like Bane. I'm not telling you he's going to be all world. I'm telling you he's going to be a reliable, solid NFL starter for years and years and years. And I like that. I like the consistency. He's not going to be Cam Wake. He's going to be Reuben Bain. And I like everything that he brings, primarily the run stopping. And if this team can't stop the run, you're going to be able to do nothing all season. Nothing. Not a zip zero. Not a single thing.
Yeah, well, I think that is a big need. It's much bigger than people realize.
Right, Blaise right. Tell me who's going to stop the run.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop
the run? Well, it better be the man that we shouldn't have paid.
Who? Oh, stop it. Anyway, stop it.
Yeah, well, it's his responsibility, ain't it?
Okay. He might have to play defensive end this year. I've actually thought about that.
Wow. Zach, who are you talking about?
Zach Sealer.
Zach Sealer.
Oh.
Yeah. Blaise Mundo said that these are all the players in late round guys that he would love to see us get. Davis equals elite. So there you have it, Hozier, Riverdon. I can't even read these. They're so small. Takario Davis, Caldwell, Prysock.
I know.
Wisniewski.
Gentry. Yeah.
Gentry.
Okay. Interesting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Late round guys, Dolphins have 4 picks on day 3. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're not getting
all.
Wow. Well, here's our very last super chat right now. Kelly R. Zabe said, thanks for another great show. Hoping tomorrow is the first day of better days for Fins fans. Well, better days been started when we brought in Malik Willis. He's going to be the Tom Brady of the future. The league just don't know it yet. And y'all, and most of us Dolphin fans don't even realize it yet. Y'all remember I said it first, while Alan Poupard was doubting it, while Omar Kelly keeps on shaking his head, okay, okay, y'all going to see Malik Willis is going to be a top 5 quarterback this year. I said it. I said it. I promise y'all that. Well, I ain't going to promise, but Anyway, man, those are all the super chats. I want to apologize again to everyone. We've been pretty solid and 100 on the production up until this point. I dropped the ball a little bit, but hey, man, y'all forgive me. We'll have it much better on Friday. Unfortunately, we couldn't do the mock, but I think everybody I saw in the comment section, a lot of people say they mocked out anyway. And at this point, and it's wartime. It's time to go, man. Any last words you want to have with everybody before the draft, Omar?
Take dogs. Learn to coach dogs. That's it.
That's it. All right, take dogs. What about you, Alan?
Don't settle for a solid player at 11 if you can get somebody who's more than a solid player.
Talking about you, Mr. One Bird in the Hand kind of guy. This is
it. I didn't say take a risk, but take somebody with high floor. But if you can get a higher ceiling, yes, go for the higher ceiling.
Okay.
But they can't take risk, unfortunately. Did that make any sense? What I just said didn't make any sense at it.
a little. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my final words are simple. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Dolphins Collective is nothing without you, the actual collective, the audience that comes over, watch the shows, share the video, hype the video, because y'all been hyping the videos up like crazy. We've been on the leaderboard of YouTube ever since I brought it up last time. We've just been climbing all the ranks on YouTube, and we're less than 100 subscribers away from the next threshold, pretty much. Is it how many thousand? 13?
It'll be 13, yep.
Coming up on 13, which is crazy, man. We just hit 10. That's crazy. But
sorry, Miami, 4505. Sorry.
Yes. Let your friends and family members know about the channel, because over here,
we only have 377 likes.
Oh, yeah. Punch that like button. Y'all got to slam that like button. We should have 1,000 likes, because we want this to get out to everybody. And don't be selfish, especially all Dolphin fans. Don't be selfish. When you hit the like button, you tell YouTube to send out the link to other people that don't even know we exist. Trust me, there are people that don't know that we exist. That's just how it works. And then once they find out, maybe like, y'all been doing this for over a year now? I had no idea. Well, I've been missing out. So y'all help Dolphins Nation by sharing the video. We love y'all. We appreciate you all. And thank you to our producer backstage who's been holding us down with the technical difficulties. Blindly just taking care of everything, putting things on the screen. They're going to end the stream now, but we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And like always, fins up no matter what. We finna take this journey to the Super Bowl in this draft. Let's go.